Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Landers Ford in Collierville. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back into Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you as we start our second hour on this Friday afternoon. We've got to talk some more wagering, and we do it at this time every single week with Bruce Marshall.
Joining the guys every Friday is college football historian and Vegas legend Bruce Marshall from Vegas Insiders, CBS Sports, and his own website, BamSports.net. With over 30 years on Memphis radio, with handicapping and sports talk, here's Bruce Marshall with Bryant and Brett.
Bruce Marshall joins us every Friday afternoon
from the Gold Sheet.
That's exactly right. Makes it a lot easier to find all his stuff at one spot over at the
Gold
Sheet.
He could stay away long.
No, he definitely could not. But he joins us every single Friday. Bruce, thanks so much for joining us. A lot to get to with you, but I do want to start with some big news this week. I know we don't talk a ton of golf with you, but the LIV news feels like it's even bigger than just golf news. What are you making of what you're seeing right now with LIV Golf? It sounds like the Saudis ready to pull money out of LIV, but they're still playing. They're down in Mexico City right now. What do you make of all this mess?
Yeah, right now they're saying they'll keep this going through the rest of 2026. Beyond that, they're not committing to anything. I wonder if they're even going to last through whatever tournament
Sunday
they've got left this
yeah
year beyond Mexico City this week. It reminds me, this is kind of a poignant story, I think, for sports in general, and it connects something to college sports, what's going on now. But let me back up for a second. When LIV came onto the scene a few years ago, I can remember the last time I was in London talking to my friend there, sports attorney, used to write for me when I did my soccer publication, Andy Corman, and I asked, and he works with this stuff, and I asked him what his thought was about LIV and its long-term prospects, and he said it'll stay afloat as long as the Saudis want to keep supporting it. As soon as they decide they don't want to do it anymore, it's done. But by the way, they own a soccer team. The Saudi investment fund also owns a soccer team, Newcastle, and they're a little worried there too. That
and Newcastle, FS1 as well.
Yeah, that's right. And if they start losing their interest, there it goes. But I mean, that's sort of what that you can sort of link that a bit, I think, to the college sports and the booster fatigue. Now, I know there's money that goes to the players now, you know, that the schools can supposedly give up to $20 million, but we know that all of the big time schools are way beyond $20 million what they're giving, and it's all benefactors who are supplying this money, boosters and such. But there is a thing called booster fatigue, that at some point, no matter how much ego gratification a lot of these big boosters get by throwing money at their alma maters or their favorite school and walking around like big shots, which is why a lot of them do it.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, practicality sets in, and they start to look around and they say, I don't really have anything connected to this investment. I have no equity in it. It's all vanity. And at some point, they just decide it's not, you know, they're not going to do it. It's just the law of the jungle in business. And sports is no different. What college sports has been able to benefit from, and I think will continue to benefit from, but a very dangerous assumption by the people in charge, is that this gravy train of money from benefactors, boosters, whatever, will continue ad infinitum, will just continue and continue. And as long as there's a new supply of, you know, multimillionaires, billionaires with school connections who can stroke their ego and feel really big about themselves, you know, funding a lot of this stuff, fine. But at some point, it's going, like the Saudis have shown us here, and they've got more money than anybody. But after a point, they said, this is ridiculous. This is no investment for us. We're not getting anything from it. And I think college sports better sort of be careful about that. And they don't seem to be, there's not one bit of carefulness going on right now in this whole enterprise of big time football and basketball. But at some point, this money train from all these benefactors, you know, hadn't happened yet. And I'm not sure when it will. But at some point, all these guys throwing all this money are going to say, you know, enough. I'm not getting anything out of this. And other than their egos getting stroked, and unless there's a new supply of suckers coming in and want to give money, you know, be careful. I mean,
that's a great.
This could happen in college sports down the road, just like what's happened with Liv.
Bruce, that is a great take. There's not only I'm not getting anything out of this. There's also I've gotten it out of that. Oh, what if you're a big time booster? I don't want to name any place, but maybe even Cody Campbell, the big guy at Texas Tech. What if they finally win and he goes, okay, that's what I wanted. I want to live long enough to see we win it. I'm not paying up as much anymore.
I think that's a good point, Brett. And I think we've seen, you know what we've seen some of that? Oklahoma State. Mm-hmm. With Boone Pickens being their big benefactor for a long time. But after he passed, Oklahoma State's fallen behind now. There's not that, you know, that money source. And you're right. I mean, Campbell is the driving force of Texas Tech. And you're right. If he loses interest, now who's going to take his spot? Now, I guess the glaring example, the other of this stuff, ultimate, might be Phil Knight at Oregon and what, you know, he's done.
He spent more than anybody in college
sports. Put all of his money and the resources back into it, and the whole Nike thing. And I think Oregon, though, will continue to endure as the exception just because of the Nike connection, and Nike is right there in Beaverton up the road from Eugene. And Oregon will probably keep going even after Phil Knight. But I think Oklahoma State is more of a cautionary tale to big times programs who are just living, you know, one or two benefactors. But even at some point, yeah, Cabell might just say, I've had enough, or some of these other schools with a few big ones. I'm thinking the BYU guys too. You know, all that money they pay for AJ DeBanza, and so what do you get from him?
Because they have a team. It's called the Utah Jazz.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, and they get knocked out in the first round of the tournament. And at some point, these guys are going to say, do I really want to be forking $8-10 million and I get nothing out of it?
And if there's a choke point for MBS, for Mohammed bin Salman, you know there's a choke point for Cody Campbell.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure. There will be. I'm sure there'll be for him too. But I don't get the feeling that too many of the people that are running college football and college basketball acknowledge this, and they're just. Mm-hmm. It's the whole thing is just such a fairy, you know, fantasy land facade that college sports is living in with this money. There's no other business remotely like what's going on with college sports. It's not the real world, and I look at these guys like Greg Sankey and all, you know, trying to lord over this stuff, and I think you guys really just don't have a bloody clue.
No, not at all. It is it's a weird world, and I don't know how we get out of it, or if we see any sort of change like that. Sir, I think if we see big money boosters starting to kind of pull their money out, like you're saying, we could see. I mean, that would do real change.
And
real
Cody Campbell, he's not used to hearing the word no. He didn't like it over the Big 12 and Fox and the TV for that big game they're going to have against Houston. They're going to play that on the Friday night of – and look, Fox knows what they're doing. That Saturday in the SEC, that's where all the eyeballs are going to be. I don't care how good Texas Tech and Houston are going to be. It was smart for them to move it for ratings purposes to that Friday night. He didn't like it, and he didn't get his way, Bruce.
Yeah, he did, and he got in a little spat with Brett Yormark too. And Yormark's one of the few commissioners I do like, because one, he comes from outside of academia. Mm-hmm. Good for him. And that's sort of Petitti too in the Big Ten. It's not Greg Sankey, and it's most of the others who are all from academia. One other note, you know, just in engaging the marketplace, just back to Liv for 1 second before we drop that. That may forever live as the ultimate example of an idea that just had no merit at the outset. It was just complete vanity play by the Saudis with this stuff. There was no demand in the marketplace for another golf tour. None. Mm-hmm. And these guys sort of, you know, created one. And that's a cautionary tale. It's not like the 60s when the AFL came in and then the ABA started. I mean, there was, you know, those were some forward-thinking guys.
Even the WHA.
Saw a marketplace.
There was a market for
more of an appetite for it. And I sent Brett some old my old USFL gold sheets today, and this would apply to the WFL too. 70s WFL, 80s for the USFL. Both of those leagues were born in a short window when the NFL was a bit out of favor and was looking at some labor problems. In 74, Brett, you might remember this. I mean, there was talk of a strike that year, and in fact, they started the preseason with all the players locked out, and there were like rookies playing in the first three or four preseason games, and then finally the veterans reported. That's the summer that the WFL started. Now, they weren't as well-planned as the USFL was, but when the USFL started, some very unique ideas they had in the USFL, including that spring football thing, but there was real dissatisfaction in the marketplace with the NFL at that point. It was right after the NFL, half of its season was lost to a work stoppage in 82. And so if you look back, you know, 9-game regular season, well, that's because half the season was scratched due to a work stoppage. There was a real, at that moment, there was some dissatisfaction in the marketplace, and they were looking for some more football. But that's why some of the subsequent football leagues didn't really take hold, and they're just, if the ones that exist now, just very minor satellites. But to really make a headway, there has to be some demand in the marketplace. And Liv found out, you know, there just wasn't that much demand for what they were looking for. No return on it. So that's why it's going to go away.
Bruce, quickly before we get to some picks, what are your thoughts on the proposals and the ideas from the NCAA of the 5-for-5, where, you know, players would have 5 years to play 5 seasons, and the moving the start of the football season up a week to where week zero is right now?
I think the latter is going to happen, and it's probably good from a scheduling point of view, and I think what should fall next would be the conference championship games. They're redundant now. They don't serve any purpose. It would be better to have that weekend start the playoffs when they're now playing the conference championship games. So I think that's probably going to come, at least and starting the season a week earlier probably come. By the way, interesting, Brett and I, we were both alive at a point where some teams didn't start their seasons until October. You can believe that. Look back at 1962 UCLA season. Didn't start till October 6th. Okay, so now we're talking about starting in August 20th.
Because their school didn't start till then, right?
Well, yeah, the school's always been on the quarter system. Didn't start till later. But, I mean, they didn't start playing football that season until October 6th. And even into the late 60s, it was late September when they started to play, and now we're into August. As for the first point you make there, Bryant, that one I'm wondering if any of this stuff is going to stick. The executive order from the White House isn't going to be law.
No.
And that would be subject to legal challenges. I'm not sure it should be. I think the NCAA already realizes it's trying to angle for some antitrust protection in Congress, but I don't think that's coming because, I mean, who's really going to benefit from that? Do the players benefit from it? Do the athletes benefit? Do the schools? I don't think Congress should get involved like that, and I don't think the White House should either. Just my own thought. But college sports sorted out itself. They
exactly,
got all this money,
Bruce,
supposedly coming in. Just sort it out yourself. Don't worry about the government helping you out. Do it yourself.
And the government should have a lot bigger things to worry about. In that executive order, I don't care how big the Sharpie is, it is not law. It's not codified by anything.
Yeah, you're right. And especially the first point, there are a lot bigger things to worry about.
Yeah.
And Big 12 and ACC and SEC football for the government to be worried about.
What was, except for the AFL, what was the best kind of nascent starting up league?
The ABA probably. Because first of all, just
right,
idea-wise, the ABA was ahead of its time. And it actually adapted some things from that earlier brief ABL in the earlier 60s. But the ABA, three-point shot, you know, and you know, the 30-second clock and all that, and that eventually went in, you know, with the college hoops. But the ABA stuck around and got, you know, several of its teams absorbed into the NBA. The World Hockey Association, kind of similar to the ABA. That survived too. The AFL is the crowning achievement.
What's the worst?
Yeah, the first real one. Now, they had the old All-American Football Conference in the late 40s, and a few of those got absorbed into the NFL. That was the Browns. Mm-hmm. That was the 49ers and the original Colts were all absorbed. So some of those had some success, but, I mean, they were at different eras and different times. The AFL, though, will forever remain the Tiffany of those. But actually, no, the ABA and the WHA, you know, they got some of those teams absorbed into the into the NHL and the NBA, respectively. So they
without
worked
Joe
to a certain degree.
Bruce, without Joe Namath, would the AFL had made it? If he signs with the St. Louis Cardinals, do they make it?
Yeah, I think so, because Sonny Werblin had, if they got Namath, they would have found somebody else to get, because when Werblin came in, they had already signed the deal with NBC at that point when they moved over from ABC. So Namath helped. Namath helped a lot, and he got them a foothold in New York, but they would have found, Werblin would have found somebody else. I'm not sure what it would have been, but it would have been somebody else they would have found to fill that niche. And that also, what really saved the league, though, I think, was accelerating the merger, which came the year after Namath joined the league. Mm-hmm. And that Namath was part of that, but it was also Al Davis being commissioner from that short amount of time when he was rating NFL teams for some of their players. But Namath was important, but I think it would have survived nonetheless.
Mm-hmm. Let's get to some picks before we let you go, Bruce. Over in the NBA, the play-in wraps up tonight. A pair of games. It starts 6:30, Hornets and Magic. Charlotte, a 3.5-point favorite on the road. The total, 218.5. What do you like in this game?
You know, I'm a bit disappointed with Orlando, and I sort of get the impression that they've tuned out Jamal Mosley. I don't know. I mean, they rarely got all their big three, and that would be they added Desmond Bane from the Grizz this year, as you know, and Wagner and Franz Wagner and Banchero. They had trouble getting all those guys healthy at once, especially Wagner and Banchero. But even so, that something looks off with that team. And if Banchero in particular looks like he might have turned out Mosley. That was a bad effort against Philly. Charlotte's kind of interesting here. I mean, I'm kind of an Orlando fan because my connection's there, but I'm not too encouraged. Though I'm a little bit surprised Charlotte's a favorite here tonight. We'll see. I think Phoenix gets Golden State in the other one, though. The Warriors, the old brigade, it was Steph, and it was Al Horford, and it was Draymond. And then, you know, a little help from Porzingis, but those first three guys are all 36 or older, played out of memory in the fourth quarter to beat the Clippers. The game, they were well behind. They were 13 down early in the fourth quarter, and they came back. I don't think that works against Phoenix. Phoenix, even though they beat Phoenix 3 or 4 this year, two of those were very early in the season when Butler was playing for Golden State. Phoenix is more athletic than the Clippers. They spread the floor better. They can attack the rim a little bit better. They're just, I think this is a, with Phoenix at full strength and no Butler on the Golden State side, I think the advantage is Phoenix in that one. I'm not sure what to make of the other game, but I think Phoenix is the edge tonight.
I like that. Anything you like in Major League Baseball before we let you go?
Yeah, a couple. I'm wondering, you're looking at the Phillies here, and this pitching staff has just fallen apart here this week. I mean, the Cubs series was very high scoring. They got the total 9.5 with the Braves tonight, who have actually been playing pretty well and have been scoring some runs themselves. The Phillies are way over in every game against the Cubs this week, so I could see them going over again tonight. That's 9.5. Padres are hot. You're getting a slight underdog price at that. Anaheim against the Angels, Soriano has pitched. I mean, if you awarded the Cy Young in the American League as of today, he'd win it. But I don't trust Soriano that much. There is one other something there, the Angel game tonight. You just wonder, this very sad news about Garrett Anderson passing today, and that really hit me hard, yeah, being an old Angel fan. But you wonder, you know, how that's – he had worked some on their TV crew in recent years. You just wonder, you know, how that might impact the team tonight. But San Diego, you know, has been playing really well. Matt Waldron gets his first start in about 2 years here, or he's had one start in 2 years. But the bullpen's been pitching great for San Diego. I think the Padres are worth a look.
Interesting. Going to be a fun weekend all around the sports world with the playoffs getting started in both the NBA and NHL. All the
baseball. Are you going to hockey, any?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not far from you.
Well, I don't know. I think everything's on TV here, so I'm just enjoying watching everything on TV. It's pretty good entertainment every night. My wife doesn't think so, but I do.
Yeah, no, it is fun to watch. Bruce, before we let you go, tell us where we can find you.
Yeah, everything for me these days is up at wagertalk.com, and that includes a couple of the old ones. That's picks and parlays and winners and winners. That's up under the Wager Talk umbrella. Of course, the Gold Sheet is up there, too, and picks. But Gold Sheet will get more of that stuff populated online toward football season. But go up to wagertalk.com. My picks are up there, and that's picks and parlays and winners and winners, too.
Bruce, enjoy the weekend, and we'll talk to you again next Friday.
Okay, have a good weekend, boys.
Thanks, Bruce.
Bruce Marshall joining us, talk a whole bunch of stuff, including some picks for the weekend, and we'll get to our picks for the NBA.
And that Phillies pitching. A little bit. Phillies? Yeah. Phillies payroll is right up there with Dodgers and Yankees.
Yeah, it sure is. And so it's been kind of a struggle for them. Start season, maybe a home series against the Braves can help things figured out. But Braves off to a nice start, getting all their guys healthy pretty much. So.
You know what number the Cardinals are in payroll? 1 through 30.
Like 23?
26. Good
wow,
guess.
Wow, interesting. 26. Okay. Okay, I felt like it would be somewhere. I mean, not a lot of money going around
and
on that.
And the ones behind them, they've always been behind.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. No, it is not normal for the Cardinals to be down there. But,
no, and they're bracing for next
year.
That's
what the rebuild's for, and sure, certainly bracing for next season. But I think they've got some prospects that eventually will get some big deals on the books. But let's go ahead and get to a break. When we return, we're heading out to Collierville. Brad Bellamy from Landers Ford out there in Collierville, he's going to join us. We'll talk all those beautiful Landers Ford vehicles, but also they've got a special guest at the dealership tomorrow. We'll talk about that next on Sports Time.
Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Available locally on your radio dial as well as around the world online at sports56whbq.com. Take us with you everywhere by downloading the Sports 56 app. And at home, just say, Alexa, play Sports 56. Wherever you are, it's easy to stay tuned to Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. To Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Landers Ford in Collierville. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
When you hear the sound coming, hear the drums drumming, I want you to join.
Welcome back into Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you, and we got to head out to Collierville. Brad Bellamy out at Landers Ford. He joins us now. Brad, thanks so much for joining us. How are things out at Landers Ford?
Man, things are great, guys. Thank you so much for having me on this afternoon. I've missed my Friday afternoon quality time with you guys.
We've
so
missed
it's great
you.
To be with y'all.
Brad, we've missed you, and have you started studying over and under college football win totals?
Oh man, I'm going to be ready for you guys. We're going to knock it out of the park this year.
We are.
Speaking of knocking out of the park, 62 years ago, guys, Ford launched the Mustang.
How about that?
And it was really fun today. Brett was here, we had the Mustang Club of Memphis stop by.
Nice.
We gave $20,000 to the Mid-South Oral School for the Deaf, and I would have a great picture. Had about 35 classic Mustangs here. And then tomorrow, guys, our longstanding leading point-scoring Grizzly, Jalen Wells, is going to be gracing us with his presence here at Landers Ford from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. tomorrow. We're super excited to have Jalen out. He'll sign autographs, take pictures, talk about how great you are at 10 years old at basketball. So bring out your kids, your grandkids, bring out your jerseys, your balls. We're going to have a great time with Jalen from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. tomorrow.
That will be fun. And he's a big piece of going forward for a refashioned, rebuilt Grizzlies team.
He is. He's a very important piece for us. And just, guys, the story about Jalen and how he came up and, you know, one of his big things, he's got a nonprofit called Sleep Nation that takes on his own story. And he's trying to get kids that maybe don't have the opportunities or don't get the initial recognition, trying to get them noticed. And, you know, it's really remarkable how he went to college and, you know, kind of paid his own way to get there. And then by the time it was all said and done, had a full ride to Washington State and then became a draft pick of the Grizzlies.
And a popular player here, and he really did. He has paid his dues. You're talking about the finally got the full ride and finally got the NBA contract and part of the staple of the community. And with the Grizzlies in that rebuild, he's going to be one of the familiar faces.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we got a you know, good young core, and, you know, hopefully if the ping pong ball goes our way, we'll be building a brand new franchise around him, and hopefully a healthy Zach Edey and mm-hmm. Cedric Coward. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'll see what Gigi Jackson does next year with some more talent on the team too. So, you know, we got to restart and refresh. And but you know, we're excited that that Jalen's going to spend some time with us tomorrow. And he came out in the fall and just an absolute humble young man that. That is just great with young people and, you know, spending the time with them. So we're excited about it.
Brad, today with those vintage Fords, give me the year and your favorite color. A friend of mine had a baby blue one with the white rag top. I mean, it was a machine. What was your favorite?
You know, I would say probably going back mid-60s. If I could have one, I would love to have like a 65 convertible Mustang. That would be my dream car. I was telling one of the guys out here today that I had an opportunity in high school to get like a 67 blue one for like $3,000. And, you know, Brad Paisley wrote a song, If I Could Write a Letter to Me. That would be included in my letter. I wish I'd have bought that car back in the late 90s, because I would very much love to have that today.
Brad, you can't believe it. So I turned 16 fall of 78, a few years before me. I'm going to say people, guys and gals, turning 16, 75, 76, 77. You can't believe all the great Mustangs people had, and they didn't know what they had.
Yeah, and for those people that are collecting, they're glad they didn't know what they had, that they ratted them out,
yeah,
rusted them out, because they made those, especially, you know, those coupes go, continue to raise in price now. And, I mean, just gorgeous cars. I absolutely have always loved the Mustang. I had a buddy in college that had a classic one, and I was very jealous many a time when he would pull up in it.
I know a guy in Forest City, and he's just a great guy. Can do anything in a garage, mechanic, under a hood with a vehicle, and not just the Mustangs and not just Fords. He helps kind of refashion them, rebuild them, repaint them, turn them back into, you know, to just great investments.
So, Brett, did you ever have a Mustang along the way?
I did not. It was my mother's favorite car. I never had a Mustang. My first car was not quite the Mustang. It was a 72 baby blue Ford Maverick.
Yeah, now you need to get a baby blue Ford Maverick truck, Brett.
They look great.
From car to truck. So
I told one of your guys today, I said, when I drove a Maverick, that's not what it looked like.
My mom said the same thing, and she actually brought me home from the hospital in a Mustang. So Ford has been a part of my life for a very long time. And, man, we got some great deals right now on Mavericks and F-150s, some really strong leases on Mustangs too. So love to have folks come out, you know, this weekend, spend some time with Jalen, check out our inventory. We got a lot of great offers, and trying to help people get a new ride.
This time of year, after tax day's over, everything's settled, this is a good time, and this time of month is a good time, isn't it?
Oh, it's a great time. It's a great time. You know, April last year was one of our strongest months, and, you know, we're really excited about the second quarter of this year. Ford is going to get really behind the 250 for America. And I don't know if you've noticed, we just switched out our flag. We went from the 250 commemorative red one to the Stars and Stripes with the circle and the 250. Love our flags for the 250th anniversary out here. Got a lot of calls in and people stopping by. And a couple weeks ago, we actually got awarded a certificate from the Daughters of the American Revolution for just the way that we've displayed our flag here, not only now, but over the years.
Very deserved. Over every year during all different times, it's always up. It's always there at Landers Ford in Collierville. And Brad, the service department, when we advertise, go online and schedule when it suits you the best, that's what y'all really mean. It is for their benefit. The best time that they want it done, that's when you do it.
Absolutely. We'll meet them where they want to be met. You know, I mean, that's one of the benefits of our remote experience program. Kaya Skinner is the person that handles that now for me. And, you know, we mobile service will come out. We'll take care of you at your place of business, your house. We got pickup and delivery. We'll bring it in here, get it taken care of for you. And then obviously we're always open 6 days a week. So, you know, you can bring it in, enjoy some of our fine coffee, some of our 60-inch televisions, and, you know, watch the game. Don't think we'll be able to have WrestleMania on for the full tilt tomorrow night, but the first couple of matches, we'll probably have WrestleMania on as well, because I know I got some salespeople here that absolutely love wrestling and wish they were in Vegas this weekend for the event.
So, Brian, it was the best give and take I had all day today with anybody. Brad and I are just talking. We're talking, of course, sports and cars and fun things. And I said, you know, kind of whimsically, I said, would you go to WrestleMania? He said, would I go? I've been.
How about that?
You went to Dallas to Jerry's World, didn't you?
I did. Yeah, I had an opportunity. One of my really good friends, his brother had season tickets to the Cowboys, so they gave him an opportunity to get WrestleMania tickets. So a few years ago when Cody Rhodes was he or wasn't he coming back to WWE, I was there. And that was also the main event where Austin Stone Cold came back too, which was an absolute blast. So I've been to WrestleMania. I got that bucket list item checked, and it was a blast. I mean, just, you know what you're getting, and, you know, wrestling is such a part of Memphis. You know, some of the greatest wrestlers of all time had their career start here in the Mid-South, and, you know, back in the day with Dave Brown and Lance Russell, and so much fun on Saturday mornings. I mean, as a kid, you know, that was part of the routine. You get off the cartoons and you watch Jerry Lawler and Bill Dundee and all the Moondogs on Saturday morning wrestling,
and the fabulous one Jackie Fargo. I'm watching Get Up this morning with Mike Greenberg. You know, he talks about it. Grew up in New York City, went to college in Chicago, and he's promoting because ESPN's heavily invested with the wrestling and wrestling and WrestleMania, and he's talking and I start laughing. I'm going, yeah, I bet you would have made fun of me in 1977 watching studio wrestling.
That's right. That's right. I mean, yeah, I mean, it, you know, it's kind of funny. Back then, you know, it was sold one way, and now it's, you know, sold to sports entertainment. Obviously, Netflix came out with a documentary on WWE and the back scenes and, you know, behind the scenes stuff. And, you know, my wife absolutely hates wrestling and she thinks it's the dumbest thing in the world. But then she watches the documentary and is like, well, this is kind of interesting, you know? And so it's funny how that is kind of maybe brought a few more fans into the mix as well.
How very mainstream that it's become, Brad. So fun to be out there today. Everything looks great, and we love what y'all are doing tomorrow with Jalen Wells. And we like to say, if it doesn't say Landers,
you pay too much. Have a great weekend, guys.
You got it, Brad. Thank you, man.
Brad Bellamy joining us from Landers Ford in Collierville as they are going to have a lot of fun tomorrow. Jalen Wells is going to be out at the dealership, so make sure you get out there and see Jalen Wells. And
Would you go to WrestleMania?
No, I have a buddy that's in Vegas right now. He's going the next 2 days. I probably would. It's probably not up my alley, but I certainly have a lot of friends
that would go there. I've talked so much about my friend Philip Dean that used to work here and so many friends. He went to WrestleMania at the Superdome in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And said, Brad, it was one of the best things I've ever done in my life. I said, you got to be kidding me.
Oh, no, people, and
he's done plenty.
Love it. Yeah, I mean, I haven't heard of a bad thing of somebody that goes to any wrestling event, but certainly the big ones like WrestleMania. People love it.
Nothing better than when Dave Brown would go, Lance, I think he has a chain. No, Dave, he's got a chain. Yes, There's no doubt he does.
He definitely has a chain. So, yeah, no, that'll be fun. Tomorrow in Vegas, a two-day event, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, for WrestleMania. But definitely a lot of fun out at Landers Ford. Make sure great deals out there. Go and check those out. And even with Jalen Wells, makes it 10 times better.
I know not a Ford, but one time, and you know, Jerry Lawler's always been maybe the most famous Cadillac driver in town. Well, he had, and this is late 70s, he had a Cadillac, four-door Cadillac, gold. It was as big as this radio station.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding you. It looked like you could ride 12 deep in it and have a good time. Well, they had a big dust up, and the opposing people took out baseball bats and knocked out every windshield, beat the hell out of the hood of the car.
Oh, geez, that's bad. That's not as bad as while y'all were talking about y'all's Mustang stories. We had a texter text in and say, he said, I lost my girl to a rich kid who had a brand new 1985 maroon SVO Mustang.
I do it every time.
He picked her up in my driveway. He was 16, I was 15. What a way to get dumped.
Man,
that's tough.
That's cold.
That's really, I mean, that is cold. In your own driveway.
Sounds like he's doing well from it.
I hope so.
40 years later, got to let it go.
Well,
I let Dinkinger go 41 years ago, didn't I?
That's true. Yeah, I mean, I know ways that we could, like, rectify the situation. I mean, if you got the money, go and buy a Mustang and, you know, go and pick up his girl in the Mustang.
As I said to Brad, there were guys and gals. I've got a very a girl, gal friend I'm thinking of right now. She did appreciate it, and I think they held on to it. But there were people driving them that just didn't realize what they had.
No, not at all.
You know, his first 16-year-old car. And,
oh, man.
You know, Dad probably got it for, you know, $1,000.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Well, Brad, I got stories for of people I knew in high school that their first car, they did not realize what they had when they had it. And it showed by the way they drew.
I took care of my first car as well as I take care of this one now.
Yeah.
I believe it was spotless.
Yeah. No, I believe that. Me and cars have not had a great history, especially my first couple of cars. So we don't need to get into all that. But right now we do need
the whole 70s. I drove a Ford, Maverick. I had a red Elite that was almost as big as Jerry Lawler's Cadillac.
Wow. Yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't think I've had. I think I'm on my fourth vehicle. I don't think I've had a Ford.
I had a red Elite. We drove seven comfortably. Fayetteville to Little Rock to a Razorback game.
Holy cow.
I promise you.
Holy cow. Enough space in there for everybody. But let's go ahead and get to
another
break. With an
8-track player, too.
Oh, man. You get all the jams in there. But let's get to a break. When we return, it'll be time for Big Number of the Day.
Not only can you listen to your favorite shows on Sports 56, you can also watch video of the shows live on Twitter and YouTube. Watch and listen every day
at Sports 56 WHBQ.
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM, this hour brought to you by Landers Ford in Collierville. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Big Daddy.
Hello, Big Brand.
It's a guy, he wants to be big, then he gets big, he doesn't want to be big anymore, then he gets small, but the suit's too big.
Big Daddy.
The big boy.
You're a big guy.
I think she's trying to pull a fast one on Big Daddy.
The big number of the day.
Well, Brett, my big number today is the number 37.2. That is the percentage that the Memphis Grizzlies have.
Friday decimal point.
That's right. I mean, hey, get to the weekend in style. But 37.2, that's the percentage, the chance that Memphis has with that number 6 pick.
Got a chance.
To jump into the top four. Good chance to move up. A 9% chance to land the number 1 overall pick. But I bring that up today because Orlando playing tonight in the play-in game. We'll talk a lot more about that game here in a little bit at 5 o'clock. But with a loss, Orlando would move into the lottery. Memphis would get that pick because of the trade. And so that would mean two lottery picks with a pretty good chance for that first one to move up into the top four and possibly move up to one. You'd see probably nothing would happen with that second pick in terms of moving up. It would, you know, be very, very little chances for it to move
up.
But what if? I mean,
what
that's right.
One and two? You know,
I mean, well, that would be really something.
That'd sell a lot of tickets.
No, it absolutely would.
Before we even had names,
no doubt. But you know, even if it's not, you know, I think just two lottery picks will get a lot of people excited, especially after you know, the ping pong balls and we figure out
so
where
much for Thomas Houck.
Well, yeah, no, it's well, Thomas Houck. What about him?
And he's staying at Florida?
Is he? I haven't seen that.
Oh, maybe I got tricked.
You might have. I mean, maybe I missed it. I have no idea.
Might have been bogus site on Twitter.
I thought you were talking about Alex Condon. When I
thought I
heard
saw Houck returning.
Maybe he is. I haven't seen that. But if he is, that would be crazy. I just think he's kind of in that spot where he better go.
Yeah, I do too.
Now because he's kind of in that lottery conversation.
Well, I think
I
was got.
Yeah, I think you might have been got. But I do think Grizzlies, if it doesn't happen, I think Grizzlies in a good spot come lottery time. But if Orlando loses tonight and you have that opportunity to get two lottery picks, that would be huge going forward.
And that third pick
that
will be first or second player of the second round.
Yeah, and I'm curious of if they stay at that pick. You know, we've talked a lot about this
could
front office. Sure, you know, they a lot of times, you know, make that move to move out of the second round, move up. So, you know, would they move that second round pick to try to move into the late first round? Do they try to maybe package, you know, if Orlando wins tonight and that second first round pick isn't in the lottery, do they try to package those two picks and maybe move up into the late lottery? You know, they'll have options here with how good those picks are. But yeah, it's the second pick in the second round. So it's going to be a lot of talk leading up to the draft.
It will be. My big number, 19. That's 19 playoff appearances for LeBron James. That's what he will do tomorrow. That ties Karl Malone and John Stockton. They did it all together with those great Utah Jazz teams. Stockton was a year older than Malone. They didn't come in the league at the same time, but they built to that great ride together. But, of course, LeBron, who did he make it about? He made it about Bronny and how much fun he's looking forward to playing with Bronny in these playoff games. Hmm. If you're playing with Bronny very much in these playoff games, you're getting swept 4-0.
There should not be a lot of Bronny out on the court unless it is just, you know, blowout and we're just playing
way
the
up
clock
or way
game.
Down.
Yeah, that's really when. But you know, with injuries, they might have to give him a couple minutes. I know everyone eyes on Luka and his situation.
A few more minutes down the stretch of the Lakers year, wasn't it?
Yeah. Bronny, oh yeah. Absolutely.
Out of necessity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they just had the injuries started piling up for them, and they needed somebody to go out there and give them some minutes. And so, yeah, you saw a little more Bronny towards the end of the season. And we'll see, you know, if they have to do that. I don't know what the injury report looks like for game one. I know there won't be any Luka, but we'll see about some of those other guys. Maybe they have to look down into to the end of the bench. But that one's going to be an interesting series getting started tomorrow night between the Rockets and the Lakers. That will be the one game that you'll be able to watch tomorrow.
I'm still a little stunned that Bruce Marshall, when we were talking about all these leagues that come and go, that other than the AFL, in that merge with the NFL, that he thought the ABA was one of the best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
all those ABA games I was sitting at didn't feel like I was sitting at anything that would be considered best.
Yeah, and it kind of seemed to me, and I think you kind of look around at different things, but yeah, I think the way he was going about it in terms of making it the next best is of kind of like what it did for basketball as a whole. Maybe not the day in,
good
day
point.
Out, game in,
you're
game
right.
out, but some of those teams that
bigger
went to
picture.
The NBA, some of the rule changes and different things that were adopted.
And the three-point the dunk contest.
Sure. Yeah, that's I didn't even think about that, but that's a really good one.
Dr. Julius Erving.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, that sells itself right there. But, I think that's where he was kind of more approaching it from instead of the game-in, game-out aspect of it.
I think here the best of well, the only major league we've had, it's the Grizzlies. Mm-hmm. I think it was the first, the real USFL.
Yeah.
No, 84, 85.
Really mm-hmm. I would definitely agree with that. I think that has certainly been
it,
up
it was
there.
The only thing that at the games, it felt electric. Mm-hmm. And those did.
Oh, yeah. No.
Nothing in the ABA ever did. Mm-mm. You know, and then NFL preseason games, has right. that ever feel electric? No, the year no. of the Oilers, I'm sorry it didn't.
No. No. So, yeah, I mean, the Showboats did certainly separate themselves in that aspect.
Opening night of the AAF, that was something. It was 39 and raining, trying, just warm enough not to sleet. February game.
Yeah, no, I remember it. I was there.
Did you spot for somebody? Did you work at it?
No, I was in high school or maybe you, early college.
No, you've been here forever.
Well, it feels like it sometimes.
No, our buddy Drew Barrett spotted for somebody. I think they still owe Drew cash.
I think they do. I think I have heard that. I think he does need some money out of them. Join the line, honestly, with the AAF needing money.
Because you think I ought to do it? I said, heck yeah. Do everything. Do anything.
Definitely.
And they ended up stiffening.
Yeah, well.
Great guy. Yeah. But that night, all told, on the property of Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium, then the Liberty Bowl, it was not 500 people.
Yeah, it was not many people there. Players, though.
I went to a Canadian Football League game. Mm. Yeah, Canadian Football League game.
Yeah,
that was about like that.
Yeah,
but that was bigger than AAF.
Yeah, no, AAF didn't do much. There was a nice little. I shouldn't say nice. There was a little pop when Manziel joined the team, but that was about it.
I checked out by then.
Yeah, well, I don't blame you. The league didn't. It didn't take too much longer for the league to check out.
I should have gone
that.
To keep my run of seeing Heisman Trophy winners here.
Well, you blinked and you would have missed it
on a team call. Memphis, because the late Rashawn Salaam was here with
XFL. I don't think you missed anything with
John Hewitt with the Southman Grizzlies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, I guess that was a missed opportunity, but oh boy, I think it was
speaking
like one
of
half.
Julius Erving right here,
wow,
right
happy
now.
Anniversary. How about that? The doctor
on PTI.
I love that. Wow, perfect timing. Must have heard us talking about him.
I don't remember him wearing number 27 for the Virginia Squires, though.
Yeah, I don't know about that. And I guess so.
I thought it was 32 right out of UMass.
Yeah, well, there's a 32 for you right there. But in
six with the 76ers.
Well, yeah, that makes it. That's the number a lot of people remember is that six. But let's go ahead and wrap up this second hour. Get to a break. When we return, be a shorter third hour as we're out early. Ole Miss baseball, they're in action against Tennessee. We will not have pregame for that game, but we will get you out for first pitch around 5:30. But right now, we need to get to a break. And when we return, we talk the NBA. We make our picks for all the play-in and playoff action. That comes your way next on Sports Time.